everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me, as always, is some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking, pal?
I'm doing really well, and I have Oaked Julius, which is their Treehouse's standard Julius, but aged in oak barrels.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's nice. It's got a little earthiness. It grounds sort of the sweetness out of it a little bit. It's nice. It's a nice beer.
But what are those aside from? I want to try that one. That one sounds delicious. Mikey, how you doing, or what are you drinking?
I'm doing well. I'm drinking an A&W Zero Sugar Root Beer tonight because I gotta go shoot something tomorrow.
All right, then. I hope you shoot a lot of things tomorrow, then.
Yeah, just one thing over and over again.
One thing over and over again. Tommy, how you doing? Tommy, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am drinking some Compass Box Orchard Blend, Orchard House Scotch. It is delicious.
That sounds great. I'm drinking a lot of extra water today and a lot of Diet Coke because I am I ran a 10K yesterday and I'm a little sore. I'm trying to wash all those toxins out of me. And another time I had to wash toxins out of me was when we got back from Florida. Let's talk about Pensacon.
Yeah.
It wasn't as big of a drunken, debauched party at our Airbnb as it sometimes is, but we still put a little away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of it about, for me, was the chocolate moonshine.
Chocolate moonshine was pretty good. It
snuck up on me a couple of times.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
So just a quick recap, February 23rd to the 25th. And I only know that because Josh has it up right behind him. The only reason I ever get a date right is it's got to be right in front of me. We went down to Florida, and we went for the 10th year in a row. I believe this was the 10th year, right?
9 for me.
9 for you?
I didn't go the first year with you guys.
Oh, that's all right. So this is the 10th year in a row for most of it, except for Josh. We went down to Pensacon, and we gave lectures and talks and ran games and had a great, great time with some of our friends we've known for years. Just a terrific day. Day one started strong. There were some problems at the very beginning because new people took over.
I think you need to back up.
I'm not going to get into that. I just wanted to – that's the elephant in the room. There were some problems at the very beginning, but I think it went very smoothly. All right? Don't get feisty on me down there, Mike.
I was trying to go to Grizzly Axe.
Yeah. Oh, we got to go there chronologically. First. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So chronologically, we get on a plane.
First year we ever flew directly to Pensacola rather than do our road trip from Atlanta because airfare was equitable across the board.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to correct you, Josh. First year we've all done that together. There was the one COVID year where none of you guys went, just this idiot.
Right.
And I flew right into Pensacola.
The first year I went, I flew directly into Pensacola.
You did.
Yep.
Yep. I dropped you off at the airport the next day.
Yeah.
Or the day you left, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah.
But the airport's cool. Yeah. They really get into it. They change all the gates to stargates.
Yes. They do. Yeah. When you get in that airport, like right off the bat, you're in there. They change the announcements too.
Yeah, they change the announcements. Some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah.
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 We had a great ride in, great Uber in. We went and picked up our badges, which was no problem. I thought it was pretty smooth, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, the badges were, you know, there was a long line for people to pick up the badges, but it was moving. And we got into some great conversations with people just in the line to get the badges.
100%. Yeah, because everybody in that line is a big – when you're in a line at a convention, everybody is your people.
Yeah, just start talking – to whoever's in front of you or whoever's behind you, and you have stuff in common if they're in that line. And
what panel are you going to go see? What panel are you excited about? Great conversation starter. Whose autograph do you want to get while you're here? Like, chance to shine.
What's your favorite co-op game? All of a sudden, like, other people who were, like, next to those other people, everybody was like, hold on, we're talking co-op games.
Four people four people down yelled out a game to Mikey when he said that to someone next to him.
Yeah, people got erections and started yelling at their favorite games. And the dude three people behind me said Twilight Imperium, and I was like, I fucking want to hang with you, dude.
Did we just become best friends? Yeah.
It just happened.
Twilight Imperium is a co-op game?
For some people.
You need a team of five strong men. Young men. Men up. With no wives. Men just with to nothing lift to the lose. Box up just to the set table. It up.
That's the co-op part.
That's the co-op part. Yeah.
Get that thing out of the box and on the table.
Heavy box.
We had there was a couple of little glitches and hitches while we were picking up our badges, which were very quickly fixed by the staff who it was in the wrong packet or something, and everyone seemed to really be willing to like try to help and keep things going forward.
And then
we started throwing axes.
No, Josh and Tom, they helped some people move in. How was the setup?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's fine. I helped an artist friend of mine, and then we helped the Linos set up their booth. It was great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they still have. They had the ice.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah, have the ice.
And that might not sound like a huge attractor, but it takes 8 feet of the arena all the way around the way.
Yeah.
So it's actually,
it makes the floor cold.
It's actually kind of nice, though.
Yeah.
Actually,
I was kind of hot all day, and being on an icy floor.
I know it's not nice for the Linos, having to stand on it all day, but they had floor mats, and I don't know. That's not that bad. But taking up an 8 foot, I don't know what the square footage of that taking up is, but it's a lot.
It does
reduce the size of the floor.
And you weren't standing on ice. We should point that out too.
Right. No. It's a hockey arena.
Or something down. Yeah.
There's a raised floor above it, but they didn't usually in most years, the ice is melted and it's right on the concrete and the space for vendors is larger. They were doing a good job moderating how many people went down there and pacing people in and out. And so I don't think it was ever so crowded that I felt like I was getting crushed. So
there have been way worse years when it came to crowding. I think the 10th anniversary might have been the high watermark for I'm not going down the floor. There's too many people down there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of times. Yeah. Yeah. I looked down and I was like, nah.
Oh, mostly only at peak. And only because that floor was smaller.
And they did a really good job of. Well, we're jumping ahead. We went to axe throwing. Now, grizzly axes, and somebody made the wall.
Mikey made the wall.
Yeah.
If you get a bullseye on your first throw ever, you make the wall.
Make the wall. Mikey's the only one who made the wall.
Then for the next hour, I proceeded to not score any fucking points.
I thought you were doing pretty good.
No, I didn't start doing well until I started throwing two axes at the same time.
Some people peaked too early is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed throwing the bigger axes, and the shovel was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, the shovel was kind of fun.
I was really dinging shit with the big axe.
The big axe, yeah. Oh, there was a couple times when Josh threw the axe, and it wasn't just throwing an axe and hitting a target and hearing a thunk. The damn thing would have done damage. This thing, he threw it hard enough a couple of times where I'm like, that would have knocked someone down. These axes are heavy and they twirl.
Yeah,
but
I felt like the big axe that one turn, I could really put my shoulder behind that and really thump that thing into the wall, man. I felt like I was doing damage.
I
was doing damage.
There have been plenty of times where the axe went in, but like you would have just looked down like, you got me. Oh, darn it. But that thing would have knocked you on your ass. You hit hard. I threw six axes at a time in my record with three going in. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
But man, those did no damage. I was barely able to like just wing those over and get the flip across. It's heavy, is what I'm saying. So good idea, by the way, Mike, to get a bunch of middle-aged guys to exert themselves in a physical activity the day before we have to walk all over Kingdom Coming and get out and do a bunch of stuff that we're not used to doing. Good mindset.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I wasn't actually sore the next day. I thought I would be because I was really hucking him at some point, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Then we went back to the house and we, what did we do? We drank.
We drank.
Yeah. We drank and we played games. Oh, actually, yeah, we played a little poker and we didn't have a lot of games to play that night. But that's the next night.
That's right.
All right. What did we do? What was the first thing we did in the morning, the next morning? I guess we just went to the con.
Breakfast.
We went to Ruby Breakfast. Slipper.
Went to the Ruby Slipper.
Ruby Slipper.
Where,
oh, that's right. You brought me back a poached egg.
Yeah.
Wonderful people in the audience and my good friend Mike. Let me say this. Nothing on God's earth travels worse than a poached egg.
In my defense, I ordered the poached eggs and was eating it, and like I could only eat half. And I was like, oh, this other poached egg is perfect for Tom.
I mean, that was a big set of bennies, Mike. I'm not gonna lie.
That was half an order that you gave me?
That was half an order. Yeah.
That was half
an order. Holy crap, that was big. I was like, this is huge.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was like, Mike, yeah, it's like that's
we were Jeff, a big order. I'm just gonna take him a photo of the poached egg and not bring him one. And then I was like, well, he's getting this one.
Those are big.
And Griffin Dunn was eating breakfast right behind us. And I didn't realize he was alone. I would have invited him over, but he was on our Griffin Dunn. He was in American Werewolf in London. He was the professor. If you see his face, you'd recognize him. He was one of the.
Oh, that was the guy behind you.
Behind me, yeah.
On the wall, I kept on looking at him, going that he was well dressed, and I'm like, this guy's a celebrity, but I don't know who the fuck he is.
He was on our flight home. He was chatting. Oh, Nell that's the guy who we were trailing with little Nell. So
Oh, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Well, that get ahead of myself. But so that I'm foreshadowing. I was supposed to be foreshadowing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Griffin Dunn.
All right. So then you guys come back. I think we all go to we dressed up in crossplay that day. I was Pam Poovy. You were pregnant Supergirl. Tommy, you were Jamie Summers.
Yes. Yep.
And I think you were the best costume out of the bunch of us. You looked pretty good.
Yeah. If somebody had just worn a red tracksuit right next to you, everybody would have known who the fuck you were.
Yeah.
But
everybody that grew up in the 70s would have known
who
I was.
The only caveat I might have added is you should have had bell bottoms on. That would have really stamped it for me. But your jeans were great. The shirt was spot on. I don't know how you got that stupid shirt perfect, but it was spot on.
Spot on.
And we
lots of internet shopping, Tom.
Mikey, got catcalled.
Mike got catcalled. We were walking by a construction site, and a guy started yelling and whistling at Mike, and I thought that was great.
He was very, very nearsighted.
Yes.
Because all he saw was a blonde in a red skirt.
As soon as Mike turned around, he stopped catcalling.
Thank you, big boy.
So our first panel of the day was on banned books, which is why we were cross-dressed. And the first thing these idiots do is they have someone read out loud a banned book that legitimately, if someone were following the letter of the law, could get someone 5 years for reading out loud in public. And it was called Tango Makes Three. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we had 10 minutes before the panel started, but people were wandering in, starting to find their seat. And Mike's like, oh, well, people are finding their seat. Why don't you start reading this book?
It was one of our new friends, Katie. Is that correct? The crossplay medic? Maybe Maddie?
I think it might have been Maddie.
I don't remember.
I'll ask Dean next time I see her. That's how bad I am with it. But Mike, we had a couple of guests in the audience that you were excited to see. Do you remember?
Well, first we had Mrs. G.
Mrs. G was great.
A first grade teacher who had a lot of opinions on the banned book laws in Florida, and we had the director of media.
Media services, yeah.
Media services, which means she's in charge of all the libraries, who was there, and she has been dealing with this shit for the last 2 years. And I was like, well, why don't you talk to us about it? She's like, I can't.
I'll go to jail.
Yeah. But I the only problem with the panel was way too many people were interested in that panel, which you wouldn't think is a problem. We had so many people who wanted to talk about it, but because they put us in a small room, we just didn't have, we had 42 seats and yeah. We had about 20 people who didn't have seats. So hopefully if I think we should probably do it again next year and talk about it. And hopefully then
bigger venue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, everybody was engaged. Some people more engaged than others. A little too engaged.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. A little
but
too excited.
Like the passion.
We had one person in particular who was just incensed that both the dictionary and the thesaurus technically illegal in Florida at the moment.
Well, so wasn't banned, but it was reviewed. Yes. And I don't know if you've seen in the last couple of weeks, DeSantis actually came out saying that people are abusing the law. It's like, I didn't think the leopard eating my face party would ever have a leopard eating my face.
Yeah, there are people abusing the law. DeSantis, his name is DeSantis. He's in the house. He's in the house.
There's a religious exemption.
Oh, that's the other thing we found out. There is a religious exemption for books that prohibit them from being banned. So the Bible, even though it's got a story where two women get their dad drunk to rape him or to have sex with him, is allowed to be in a library, but a story of two penguins who love each other is banned.
So you know, we need to start a penguin religion, book, is what you're saying.
That pro-slavery book, the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can start a religion around that.
Yeah.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, that was our only one for that day.
Friday, yeah. That was our only panel. Yeah. It went very well. It's great.
We bought some art. LT bought some art.
I did buy some art.
LT, tell them the funny story about the gift that you brought to one of your favorite artists.
So one of my favorite artists that has virtually no internet presence, Mitch Bird, I often buy art from him and find that there's other art on the back of it because he reuses comic boards. And so I had bought, I'd gone online and bought Blue Line Pro comic boards, same stuff that he's been reusing, and bought a pack of them and went up to him and was like, hey, here, this is a gift because, you know, I keep buying art from you, and I get it home and I find there's more art on the back, and I'm conflicted because I don't want to hang it up and cover up what's on the back, so that you don't have to keep reusing. Here's a pack of new boards, you know. It's a gift. And I start looking through stuff and I'm like, hey, how much is this? It's like, oh, you gave me that other stuff. You didn't just have that. And I'm like, no, you don't understand what a gift is. I'm like,
it's like, not the barter system.
Not barter system. You didn't ask for that. It was a gift.
I myself went and saw a artist who I've seen a few other times before, and he made me a terrific drawing of Balik, who is a pirate in the Conan universe, Balit. And he drew a picture of me and Balit on a pirate ship together, which is really good. It came out terrific. That's kind of the thing I always do. I get an artist to draw me and someone they like. And he just happened to like this pirate. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And it came out terrific. And then we went back to the house. And what did we do?
I think we drank.
We drank.
We drank.
That was a chocolate moonshine night, as I recall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a bad night. Thank you, Diane. The next morning we got up, we went back to the con. I saw Sea Shanties. There's a local group that does Sea Shanties. I like Sea Shanties. They were terrific. I also met Hob the Goblin, who is a local musician who dresses up like a goblin, plays the ukulele, and does little cute songs. And he was adorable and nice.
Yeah, our first panel of that day was Stupid Supervillains, which let's just talk about the Methodists for a second.
Those Methodists.
They rocked. I can understand why Dean Martin wanted them to be Methodists in Cannonball Run rather than Catholics. These people were so
gonna sit? Where's he going to sit? Sorry. Two seats.
Cannonball Run inside. Cannonball Run. Joke, sorry.
So we are scheduled for a room, and they for some reason thought it was a workshop.
Yeah.
And they had us in the workshop room in the bottom of the church, and
the basement of the Alamo.
We got in there and we're like, oh, this is not going to work. There's not a lot of seats, but oh, maybe we won't have anybody show up. No, like people just started funneling in. And as soon as the workers from the Methodist Church realized that we did not have enough seats, moved us to a bigger room and then helped bring in more chairs to fill that room. So that was great.
Yeah, they were really Johnny on the spot, and they moved pretty much every chair that they could into that room. And we still, how many we had for that particular one?
We had about 60
people for that.
Well, that's a fun one, yeah.
Yeah, and they stationed somebody outside the other room to direct people into the new room. So that way, even if people showed up late, they would still be able to go to the right panel. So, I mean, they were awesome.
They were right there with us. That's a great panel. That's a fun panel to run. We talk about enduring supervillains. Now, I try to avoid, like, one-shotters, like the Javelin and the Spear and guys like that who maybe show up once or twice. We talk about, you know, supervillains who just kind of make a connection with us that we like. And there's some controversies over what makes it bad, what makes a good one. Someone brought up Batroc, and I wanted to fight him to the death because that is not a stupid supervillain. It's a great supervillain.
I think that panel went great. When that guy said it, like, every one of us besides you reacted like,
oh damn.
I was like,
even some of our regulars, as soon as they said it, they were like, well, are you insane?
Like, oh, that's the end of this session.
But the panel went great, and yeah, we got a lot of great feedback out.
Yeah.
So my favorite was Red Flags.
Good super new supervillain, yeah. The Red Flag. One, yeah.
That's a good one.
So we brought up the supervillain Red Flag, which was a Wonder Twin supervillain. He went on a date with Jan, and it was a horrible date. There were tons of red flags. And one of the women in the audience said, oh, been there, dated that. And in my mind, I was like, oh, bad decisions were made. She later came to our second panel of the day, which was Last Nerd Standing. And we told her the rules. She came with her son. We told her the rules. And we told her one of the rules is that if she brought us a shot, she could win a prize. She went out to a bar and got us a shot. She came back with two double shots. She was gone for a long time. Her son was like playing on his phone, and he looks up and says to me, oh, it's going to be a while. The bar doesn't open until 7. And I'm like, are you her son? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, your mom left you here to go get us shots? Like, yeah. I was like,
it's a good mom.
I was like, that's awesome.
That kid and his mom had it. So she wanted to get us the shots because she knew she would not know any answers to any of our geeky questions. And what a great mom. What a great mom. This is my kid's hobby.
Do what it takes.
And they did. They got the first two picks of prizes.
Of prizes. She came back with two doubles. It was great. I was like, this is a church building. That's awesome. She came back with two doubles and two extra glasses.
And last time standing, again, gotta give kudos to the folks who were, like, we were originally scheduled for a small room for that. Yeah. And we were like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We need a much larger room. And so we just got the room where we were going to do the nerd karaoke that night. And that very large room seats over 100 people.
Over 100,
We had 85 prizes, I believe. And when everybody had gotten a prize, we had three prizes left over. So we had 82 people show up for the, you know,
last nerd
standing. So that was an amazing turnout. And we confused the shit out of them by having some new slides. Like, we haven't changed the slides in 10 years, except for we added a few new ones. And there were some people going, what is going on?
Yeah, because that mom was all set for the math section. She was like, I am all set for the math section. I can do math like crazy. And we're like,
we ditched that.
Oh, yeah, really?
You're not going to like it this year.
And that's like, what?
There's no math?
I met a artist named Robert Pope, who I had a nice conversation with about my grandfather. And then I commissioned him to do Snoopy as a knight.
You got to pull it back up a little. Put it towards your face. Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful picture. Really nice guy. Hope to see him every year there.
Yeah, that was terrific. Yeah. And so
Last Nerd Standing. Any other comments about Last Nerd Standing? I'm just going to say Kyle was my favorite person to pick on. Kyle was the last one to get a prize. The very last freaking person to get a prize. And then I had a sex question on comic book superhero sex, and he was the only one to get it right.
The only one who got it.
It was right afterwards, too. It was just perfect. I was like, Kyle, I should have just been asking sex questions. You would have won all night long.
Should have led with that.
We threw so many softballs at Kyle.
He got one eventually.
Yeah, the question he got wrong that everybody else got right was, who came first, Gorilla Grodd or the very first supervillain ever?
Ultra Humanite.
He's like, I thought it was Grodd. And I'm like, oh, apparently.
Very first supervillain.
I mean, Mike, the fact that he thought you were tricking him is a good instinct. I'm just saying.
I'm just going to
put it out there. It's a pretty good instinct.
It's fair.
To be fair. My favorite, I had one little bit in there that I thought was pretty funny. I told everyone, stop, look under your chairs. And everybody looked under their chairs.
So much so that we're going to do that next year and I actually have something under the chair.
Yeah.
That was someone's chair.
Congratulations, you get to go to Nerd Karaoke for free.
And then, once again, the Methodists kicked it into overdrive to get us audio and video for Nerd Karaoke. They did a really good job. Yeah, get my laptop up and running. And
can I also throw out thanks to the young lady who was in the costume contest who fucking took over because we didn't have audio at that point, and there was the costume contest was going on in the ballroom next, and they were staging in the room we were doing Last Nerd Standing. And as we were trying to get started, she was like a drill sergeant and was like, hey, if you're not part of this panel, if you're not listening to it, you need to get into the back and shut the fuck up while these guys are doing their shit. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Pretty sure she wasn't part of the church. I'm pretty sure she was part
pretty
of the
sure.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you to whoever that young lady was. You were awesome.
Well played.
Well played. She really was getting on the spot again.
And then Nerd Karaoke was after that, which is yep. always fun. And like, we're going to have a curated list next year so that there are no Dwarven Dirges. But
all the Dwarven Dirges, any dirge, at, I think, yeah, anyone who's like, I want to do a Lord of the Rings dirge, they'll be like, yes, and it's going to be where there's a whip, there's a way. That's it. It's 2 minutes long. That's it. You get up, and I don't care what you picked, that's what it's going to be. Whip yes. it away. Yeah, that kid, not so much. There were a couple
yeah,
of...
I appreciate that he has a fandom. Like, he loves Lord sure. of the Rings, and he loves Dwarven Dirges. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing went on how long ago?
And the last one he picked was 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was prepared to do it in Korean.
He was prepared too. To do it in
he
Korean.
Was.
That is not
he
true.
Was absolutely prepared to do it in Korean.
The one he picked was just north of 5 minutes. And I was like, oh,
I was trying to keep the crowd. That's my job is to like be the hype man and keep the crowd going. It was tough during the dirge.
Yeah. That's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Let me say this. I did have one young lady who came up to me and said, hey, I've been here like 3 years. I love all your energy. I'm like, oh, thanks. Because I can't believe how old you are. Thanks.
Wow. That's
was that that little was dancing next to you or is that somebody else?
That was actually somebody else. There was also this very little girl who said something like, I can't believe anyone is as old as you, after I told her how old I was. And then at one point, a Naruto song came on, so I did the Naruto run around the thing. And then she goes, I can do that too, chase me. And then I started chasing her around, and I'm like, this looks terrible.
Yes.
This looks like I'm just terrible. Chasing a little girl around, like, come here, little girl. Like Danny DeVito is attacking someone. This is not a good look. But karaoke was great. We Mike had a new brilliant idea. Mike, kudos. You Rickrolled someone.
Oh, we Rickrolled the whole crowd, yeah.
Yeah, so Mike called someone up and said, he announced, we're going to let someone sing the next song, but we get to pick it. Who's up for it?
Yeah, yep. Mystery song, Rickrolled.
Rickrolled. Yep. We Rickrolled a whole lot of them. And, of course, we finished up that set last song of the night. As always, the Time Warp. And we got our very own Tammy to do that one. That was great.
Yeah
she was awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Always great. Tammy's terrific.
I feel like we could have got Little Nell for that.
Oh, we didn't ask.
I feel like she would have been like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you even just said, hey, Little, like, you recognized her on the plane. And she's like, where's my people? Hello.
Yeah, she was totally
like,
up.
Yeah.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Sorry. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing again. I got a couple autographs that day. Also, I got Olivia Monroe, who was in a bunch of the old Hammer films. My favorite Hammer film of all time, which is Captain Crono's Vampire Hunter. She was the love interest. And my goodness, she's a very attractive woman in that movie. And she's still a very attractive woman to this very day. Did anyone else get any autographs that day?
I trolled through the celebrities, and I didn't really find anyone. I was like really jazzed, and there were no Star Wars folks there. No one. Sorry, the only Star Wars folk really that was there that was an on-screen, not a voice actor, was the guy who played Bib Fortuna, and I already had his autograph.
So
for my Star Wars book.
I wanted to get Ron Perlman because Ron Perlman was not looking great. And I was like, I better get Ron Perlman now while I have the opportunity. But his line was actually out the door in the hallway. And I was like, no thanks. And same with James Marsder. I wanted to get his autograph. And if the line had been smaller, I would have gone for it. But I didn't want to wait in a huge line. We had other things to do. LT had to get his massage.
We all got a massage.
Yeah, Josh, you missed out on our massages.
Yeah. Fuck. There was a massage chair booth there, and they gave out a pretty decent little massage for like decent, 10 minutes.
Decent 10-minute massage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well worth it.
Yep. The guy who does the voice of on Space Ghost, who's the sidekick? Darklight Dick. Mark. Thank you. Mark. He was singing Loser. I'm a loser.
Oh yeah, he was at a little ukulele.
And it was so charming. Like, I don't know you, but that was awesome. You're awesome. You're absolutely the coolest, man. That was such a great cover. He's like, oh, thanks. And we talked about ukuleles, and that's that. Because I play a little ukulele. He was really cool, though. He was really nice, really friendly. Talked to a few wrestlers. I liked seeing the wrestlers out there. I saw Mick Foley. Line was way too long and way too out the door. So, I mean, I would have missed half a day, I think, in that damn ride line. But a couple others I said hi to. Tame Ellen. And then we went home, and what did we do?
I bought two different versions of Munchkin.
Yeah.
We had some folks who weren't staying with us come back to the house. And we played Munchkin, and we ordered Thai food, and we drank.
By the way, we said it then, we'll say it again. Tom, just don't yell out, everybody come back and drink with us, because you had a group of teenagers who were like, did that old dude just invite us to come back and drink with him? Fuck yeah!
Do you guys not remember how we met Josh? Guys, we got to keep opening ourselves up to new experiences.
Yeah, we were teenagers at the same time. We were all illegally drinking at that time.
I wasn't. Hey, it worked out fine for me.
Yes, you are drinking illegally.
There was no way.
Not for some of it.
Not for some of it, but yeah.
Not for some of it.
But when we met, you were definitely drinking illegally.
Fine. I'll stop inviting minors. All right, we'll call it a guideline. All right? I don't want to say rule.
Next year, don't chase a little girl around the room and don't invite minors.
Don't invite her back to drink.
Hey.
Unless they're coal miners.
Oh. She might not be a minor next year, according to Florida law. Actually, she will absolutely still be a minor next year, even according to Florida law.
Mrs. G showed up to Last Nerd Standing. She was awesome. She didn't know
anything.
She didn't know anything.
She didn't know anything. But she got a prize anyway.
Yeah, because she knew Ultra Humanite. The very first supervillain appeared before Gorilla Grodd.
Then it was Sunday, and we had one more panel to do, and that was... Stereotypes, right?
Yeah, horrible stereotypes.
Yep.
Horrible stereotypes is kind of hit or miss sometimes because it's a very adult conversation sometimes because we do have to talk about some hard topics. When it comes to how African-Americans were first drawn and shown in comic books, they were terrible renditions and not flattering in the least. But as we always say, invisibility is worse than comic relief or sidekick or any other things. At least being seen as being real and human is a step forward. And we had to talk about that and how what that means to trans representation and gender fluid and queer and all the other people out there who are underrepresented. And sometimes that can be tough, but this was a good crowd for it. They all seemed to dig it really well, even when we put out some very difficult images.
Yeah, it could be a slap in the face. Like, it's definitely like the...
slap in the face, especially for the Japanese.
Especially for Japanese.
Yeah.
One of the slides is Superman saying it's okay to slap a Jap.
Yeah. Because a lot of those images are, I mean, they were before our time, but they're those.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. But those sorts of stereotypes were much more prevalent when we were kids than they are now. And I think it's shocking. For some of the, because we get a pretty
younger
crowd,
yeah,
to see that anyone was represented that way ever, right?
Yeah, just so dehumanizing and bad. And we have to say that this was actually progress.
Yeah. And it's also, let's not forget these kids, like, even though they're, you know, what year is it? Fucking 2024. Like, these are young kids, but this is not outside of their grandparents' purview, right? Like, it's not so far removed from them that they're completely removed from it from that personal perspective. Although, I mean, we are, I mean, holy shit, years past, like, 19, I can't even believe the 2024 still sounds like a fucking science fiction date to me sometimes when I say it out loud. Like, it doesn't seem like it's actually the year.
You're talking to a guy who watched Space 1999 on TV, pal.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you're talking to a guy who bought a print of artwork for Space 1999 at Pensacon.
but just as you were just saying, Josh, it's not outside of their purview because you had some slides that were from only a couple of years ago, right?
Sure, yeah.
And those were, they kind of snuck those in there, if you want to talk about that just a little bit.
I mean, my slides, over the years we've done this, I've been asked to talk about Native Americans or American Indians, as well as
the Romani,
who are Northern India. So sort of related in a very odd sort of way. But those are modern topics.
Actually, I was actually talking about the more modern ones that were Jewish representation that were hidden in the background. That was only from a couple of years ago.
2017, yeah.
2017, talk about that.
What was the guy's name? Anyone?
That's not even mentioned.
Where is he from?
Indonesia.
A Indonesian Muslim artist who was hired by Marvel decided to use his platform to disparage Jews by hiding references to the Quran, where they basically call for the murder of anyone who's not Muslims, a lot of times specifically Jews. So he pointed out passages. He had people sort of like phased out of letters. So the only thing that was showing was Jew. Mostly it was pointed at Kitty Pryde and Colossus. It was a big deal. Like, it was one
it
of those
very
things
ugly
where
stuff.
It was a very
like
ugly
his t-shirt
stuff.
Had a Quran passage that called for the extermination of Jews. This was in 2017.
So, and I mean, clearly that guy's been blacklisted.
And a mainstream comic. This is X-Men.
Very mainstream. Yeah, it was one of the relaunches of X-Men. He was supposed to be one of the primary artists. And he really did. He just used his platform. And nobody, it took some time for people to realize. It wasn't Marvel who realized it.
It was other Muslims who realized, like, oh, wait.
Other Muslims, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, because it's a misquoted section of the Quran. They were, as soon as they started seeing it, like, oh, this is what he's doing here, kind of deal.
Yeah, there's a subset of people who use that. Like, I'm trying to think of another reference. Like, the Klan might have a specific passage they use to do.
Thou shalt not lay with a man, lay with a woman, to say all.
Sure, it's not a lot of homosexuality references are put down by specific passages, and of course, you know, I like to. So my daughter, she's a Georgetown grad. She always did her dishes. She's fluent in French and English. Is she? What is she worth? You know. Thank you, West Wing, for that.
West Wing.
One of the greatest shows of all time.
And a great reference. I know that. I knew that one as soon as you started saying it.
Yeah.
Which also brings me to one swag piece I bought. I bought my wife a West Wing themed necklace that said "What's next." She loved it.
What's that? Yeah, cool.
I got my daughters some leather jackets. It was the Emma Swan from the TV show Once Upon a Time cosplay jacket. They've never seen that. They don't care, but it's a nice comfy leather jacket, so they were happy with it. And I got myself a kilt. Tom, you got a kilt.
We both bought kilts. We're going to do Justice League of Scotland next year.
I bought
some nice hot sauce.
I bought a gorgeous tiki bar sign, Dark Side Rum with Darth Vader on it. And it is greatscottdesigns.com. He was my favorite new vendor. He shipped it for free. I should get it this week. He sent me an email saying, hey, I didn't forget about you. It's coming this week. And he had also asked me for some ideas. He's like, because I had presented some ideas to him at the show. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I run out of ideas all the time. So if you have ideas for stuff, just send them to me. So,
vulgar unicorn, Josh. The vulgar unicorn.
Vulgar unicorn.
It's a very specific market.
Very specific.
But I know someone who will buy it.
Yeah. Tom really and I actually bought, bought tees from him too. He bought Frankenberry. I bought Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yep. His stuff was gorgeous. It was on point. It was priced well, I thought.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't like, oh, like that's hand carved. That should not be that cheap.
Oh, it's solid as a rock. Mine was an inch and a half thick, 2 inches.
Yeah. That's great stuff. He also makes, although he's sold out, he makes some amazing tiki planters for your garden. Like, amazing. I was like, holy shit, I totally want one of these. But he does, and he makes the molds and then makes as many plaster pieces out of it as he can. And when the mold deteriorates, he never sells it again.
Never remake like that.
So limited it's edition. Limited to its capacity for holding together, which I think was awesome. He said he usually gets about, depending on it, like 80 to 100 out of any one mold, and that's it. He'll never sell them again. He just makes a new one. I'm like, oh, super cool. Super cool. They'll always be unique. All right. Well, they'll always be limited.
So then we went back to the house. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we drank a little bit.
Wait, on Sunday?
Sunday?
Yeah, McGuire. No, that was right.
We went to McGuire's.
Yeah, we did.
And we went to McGuire's.
But Mikey did not too much, because Mikey, you had a six in the morning flight?
I did. Yeah. No, I had to be there at 6:30, so yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
early flight.
Yeah. My, well, if you're making on your choice, Mike, but sure, yeah.
My Uber driver was not the greatest Uber driver in the world. She was texting...
Was it the same as our Uber driver? Because she was awful, too.
It could be.
Ours wasn't perfect.
No, ours was staring at the fucking center console pushing.
Yes! Buttons. Yeah, that was my fucking Uber driver. She was at a green light and stopped dead texting somebody, and I'm like...
Okay. Nah. Mike, was she an older, heavyset black woman?
Yes!
Just the same lady!
Well, how many Uber drivers are driving around that
lady? Same lady.
All right. It was probably the same lady.
Probably the same.
It might have been.
I don't even know if that was her car, because she didn't know how to open the back.
Operate anything.
No.
Nothing. Not a goddamn thing.
We should mention we were staying in an Airbnb, so a beautiful one. We already rented it again for next year. Thank you, Josh.
Hold on. We almost got fucked on that. So they allow that Airbnb to be booked a year in advance. And right when Pensacon ended, somebody booked it for the last weekend in February, but they changed the week Pensacon was happening. That's the only reason we got it for next year.
Woo-hoo.
And well, as soon as I booked it for the right weekend, that other weekend opened up, they canceled.
Nice. It's a beautiful house. How many bedrooms is that? It's like six.
It's six, yeah. It's like six bedroom, eight bath. It's got the theater room upstairs, the bar. So I think next year I'm gonna just ask her if she can. But like before, I'm gonna email her before people can book that and be like, I would just like this for next year, whatever the Pensacon weekend is. If you could just lock it out for those 2 weeks.
Yeah. So we've been great customers, I think. We do everything by the letter.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm hoping she'll just be like, yeah, let's just do that. It got a little more expensive, but not much. About $180 more than it was this year.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spot. We got to bring ghostbusting equipment, though.
Yeah.
It played definitely on it. So we grab some quick breakfast. We grab an Uber. We get to our flight. We get our seats, and we're getting on the plane, and who's getting on the plane with us but Little Nell from Little Shop of Horrors, Little Nell from Rocky Horror Picture Show. She was one of the two girls who sang. She was not the maid, if that helps. She was in the gold sequined, you know, dress and shirt. Yeah. She was Little Nell in both things.
Yeah. I
said a quick hi to her, and she said hi to me. And we're sitting on the plane. She's sitting, like, just three seats ahead of me. She was sitting next to the guy from the werewolf movie, right?
American Werewolf in London.
He was in First Class, Griffin Dunn.
She was sitting next to someone else famous. He was in something also. But not Rocky Horror Picture Show. They're chatting and talking. We're a couple behind them. Nice flight into wherever we're going on that. Was it the first leg? I guess it was the first leg.
It was both.
Oh, it was both. So on the leg.
Yeah, sorry, it was the first leg. To LaGuardia. Yeah. They got off at LaGuardia.
Yeah. So the first leg, we get off at LaGuardia. She's getting off, but she's having a little trouble. And she apologized. She looks back and goes, sorry, I'm just having a little trouble getting on my stuff. And I look at her like, don't worry, Little Nell, we love you. And she's like, where's my people at? She was so happy. And someone had given her, and I thought this was kind of funny, they gave her a big painting of herself from Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is a great present to give to someone. I'm sure everyone's happy to see something. It was really, really well done. But right before you get on a plane, that's got to be tough to, like, where the fuck do I put this?
Yeah, here's a photo. Can I send it to you?
Yes, something like maybe in the future. Because some of these stars are doing great, kind of, but maybe they're not bringing a bag with them on the plane that costs $30, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And Little Nell was in that latter group, I think.
Was Columbia, not Magenta, not Columbia, the goth one. Columbia, the one, the sequined one. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh. And she was just a sweetheart, and we told people to shut the fuck up and let her get her shit. And it was a great flight back, and that I think that's just about everything.
Yeah.
Just a great time. And once again, there were a lot of complaints at the beginning that I think were more than necessary. They took a long time putting the panels up. Yep, it was their first year doing it. They took a long time assigning rooms to the panels. Yep, it was their first year doing it. A lot of celebrities canceled. That's not their fault. Celebrities cancel all the time, and having a run of bad luck isn't someone's fault. It just happens sometimes. So all the haters out there, look, it's a con. They're working hard.
Settle down.
Yeah, they're all volunteers, too.
All volunteers. I will have one big shout out. I think this was the best year for opening those damn doors. LT, you and I were at a door once that was supposed to open at 1, right? Didn't open till 1:30.
Yep.
And a huge line behind us. We got video of it. We're like, why aren't you just opening the door? And the guy's like, we didn't get the okay yet.
Okay.
Every other door is open.
It's open. Every other line is moving.
Why can't you just...
It is hot out.
It was sweltering. This was 2 years ago. And the guy was just... did not care. I'm like, and 1:30 he goes, hey, I hear it over the thing. Hey, why aren't you guys letting anyone in yet? He goes, oh, we're set? Like, yeah, you're set. It's 1:30.
30.
Yeah.
And we had complained like 4 times. We were getting pretty close to that guy trying to kick us out. Like, hey, you're really, just get on the walkie-talkie, man.
Yeah, the first year we did panels, they scheduled it at the same time the doors opened.
Yes. Yeah. Which gives you how many minutes to get to the room? None.
Zero. Yeah. None. Zero minutes to get there. We had one person, Chris Mitchell, who we love.
He was still on to this day.
That's how he was able to get there.
Chris Mitchell was the only one who got there because he had a vendor's pass because he works for 99 issues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I get the comic book shop right?
Yeah. He's got 99 issues, but getting to our panel isn't one of them.
I am very impressed with me on that one.
It's a good one. Let's go to Mike. Well played.
I give this like all right, 3 to 18. I'm going to give this a nice 17.
It's a great
con. They could have had a couple more celebrities. You know, I think they could have opened it up to a few more, you know, people out there, a couple more genres. That's not even really a complaint.
They didn't really have room for more celebrities.
17, it's not a complaint. I just wish they were.
Yeah, they didn't really
have room. They could have had a couple more masseuses.
Yeah, the masseuses were a nice touch. Glad they had them this year.
A couple more.
Yeah.
A couple more.
I really wish they'd worked a little bit more with the venue to not I feel like they didn't have to have the ice. There wasn't a hockey game scheduled for 2 weeks. There might have been a hockey practice scheduled for the next day. I don't know that.
The only
thing I know there wasn't a game.
Yeah, there was not. My sliver was that there were a lot more, which I think this is good. There were a lot more food trucks, but there were no tables and chairs.
Yeah.
There's nowhere there to sit.
More, and the food was better this year.
The food is better. I was just like, guys,
10 couple picnic tables. And chairs, maybe a couple of sun.
Yeah.
Get us out of the sun. I wish they would open up Poseidon again. That wasn't open up. They would
the other side?
Yeah.
The back side of the
commercial. You know, they should just have a whole bunch of food trucks out back and just make that the food court area and just put a bunch of tables and tents and a bunch of food trucks and boom, you're good to go. You're hungry? You can just stay right at the venue and just go out, get plenty of choices.
Yeah.
Oh, a quick shout out to the Dagenhier group that was out there. Josh, did you get to talk to them?
I did chat with them, yeah.
Nice guys.
Yeah, they seem fun.
Just friendly folk. Dagenhier is an AmpGuard, is a LARP group. We belong to AmpGuard, which is another LARP group. Dagenhier are just like us, except they have harder strikes and way less magic.
There's,
but it's still a fun
only,
game.
The only magic is a heal. That's it.
Yeah, one heal.
One heal. Bring somebody back up. That's it. And they're much more physical.
Yeah. But they do have archers, which I like. So every once in a while, I'm like, man, I can go to Dagenhier. I'll just sit in the back, peg people, and when I get hit, curl up into a ball. It's fine. Curl up into my ball. I'll turtle that shit. Boom, boom, boom.
Is the head a target in Dag?
No, not for weapons, but for archers.
Oh, okay.
Archers can hit you in the face. No weapons in the head or neck.
Okay. I don't care then. Yeah. It's all the same.
All right. I think that does it for it.
Yeah.
This has been a pretty long one. I think we should probably
just wrap it up.
Yeah, wrap it up. I'd like to thank all our new subscribers on our YouTube channel. Yeah. We got about 40 new subscribers. So
we had three before because it looked like it was up to 43.
No, we've got 80 something on YouTube.
Woo-hoo.
That's not what YouTube says.
That's what my YouTube said.
Really? Yeah. I just looked at it.
Refreshed,
really
Josh.
I have the account. We have 83 subscribers on YouTube and a lot more on the podcast itself.
Anyway.
It says 41 subscribers.
I don't know. Mine said 80 something.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I would like to thank Methodist. Hey, thanks, Methodist.
Yeah. Way to go, Methodist. Good. Yeah.
I would like to thank GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Timmy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine stained glass prints, giant Skywalker rocks glasses, you name it, they've got it at GeekOrthodox.com. If you want t-shirts, you got to go to IanLino.com because they got so much stuff, they got to put it on two separate websites. That's right.
I would like to thank our executive producer, Diane. Diane, you rock.
You do rock, Diane.
She's always so nice to us when we come down there. Always had like a little present for us. She gave us coasters this year. Yeah. I love my little coasters.
They're great.
They did get us screened a little extra. things. But they're terrific. And she's just so sweet, so nice. We did a group cosplay with her this year, which was Daria. One of the easier cosplays I ever did. I did Trent. Very simple.
Yeah, and her Speedy was awesome. Inspired us.
Yeah.
To do a sidekick panel next year.
Yes. So next year, sidekicks, it's coming. What are they for? What are they good for? Why were they created? How? Why? Where? What? We're going to do the whole newspaper thing on them.
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess that does it for this week's episode of the podcast. Thanks again. If you get a chance, subscribe to our Patreon page. That's Patreon. Longbox guy, / forward / something like that. All the money does go to this, but Peabody House, where we fed how many families this week?
About 200.
No wonder we were down to hooks and wires.
Yes.
Feeding 200. My record before this guy took over was 125, 130. You're knocking it out of the ballpark. All the money does go to that. And Tommy. Sweet, sweet Tommy. Any words of wisdom for us?
Hey, man. Just try to do some good in the world. Leave the place a little bit better than you found it.
Campfire. Campfire, man.
Campfire rules.
Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, Philadelphia God, maybe? Is that your sector?
Next on the list, I don't really know. It's kind of maybe Gen Con?
Ooh, Gen Con. I've never gone. I gotta go. I'll make the pilgrimage. I'll do the Hajj with you this year. We'll do Gen Con. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer, I promise you. So long from the Longbox, guys.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.